As I stated in the announcements, we will be receiving new members into the church today. First off, I want to just give you a little bit what it does take to become a member. First off, you must accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. If you've done that, that's one qualification to become a member. Secondly, you must agree with the principles and purposes of Northbrook Alliance Church and the Christian Missionary Alliance, which is basically to serve our neighbors with Christ's love and take the gospel message to the world. If you're in alignment with that. Thirdly, you need to have made a public profession of being a follower of Jesus Christ through baptism in order to be a member. Now, you can stand on an infant baptism if you were baptized as a child, as an infant, want to stand on that, or if you were had a believer's baptism when you got older. The Alliance makes no distinction. We only practice believer's baptism, but we allow you to stand on whatever you feel is sufficient. That's all it is. We do ask that you attend a class to find out what the Alliance is about, a little bit of church history, a little bit of basics of church, of what Christian doctrine and beliefs. Very minimal, very basic. And we require you to be interviewed by the elders to determine the veracity of your testimony and that you are determine that, yes, you are in agreement with the ideas of Northbrook Alliance Church and the Christian Missionary Alliance. And that is what is required to become a member. If you are not a member and would like to become one, please speak to me. You only need to be 16 years of age to be a full member within the Alliance. I'm going to ask our elders, George and Ed, to come on up. Is George back there, or did he run away with the offering? Donna is going to find him. Come on up. Okay. I also ask our new members to come on up. Stephanie Aaron, Bob Cave, Larry, and Marge Drozdik. If you four would please come forward. Come on up on platform, please. Come on over this way. Don't hide in the corner. Ed, you get on the other side of him. Hurt him this way. No, we're not letting you get away. Okay. If you are a member of Northbrook Alliance Church, I would ask you to stand at this time. And I'm going to read this on your behalf. This is a commitment that you are making to these new members here. And I would ask you to repeat this in your heart with me. We, the members of this church, do solemnly covenant together with God and with one another that we will abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. We will be kind to one another, putting away from us all bitterness, anger, wrath, clamor, and evil speaking. And we will be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. We who are heads of families will observe the worship of God in our homes and will endeavor to lead our children or others committed to our care to a saving knowledge and personal faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We will regularly attend, so far as providence permits, the services of worship on the Lord's Day, and such other services as the church may appoint. We will observe together the Lord's Supper. We will aid as the Lord prospers us in the support of a faithful Christian ministry among us and in sending the saving gospel of Christ to the whole human family. We will remember those who have the rule over us, esteeming them very highly for their work's sake. For them we will faithfully pray, and with them we will faithfully labor, as it may be our privilege. God being our helper, this we do covenant to do. And then you who are now joining the church, this particular body known as Northbrook Alliance Church, says, Christian friends, we rejoice in this expression of your desire to be united with us in this relationship. Because you have witnessed a good confession of faith, you are already one with the redeemed people of God of all generations. By uniting with this church, you enjoy all its sacred privileges and bear its obligations. It is your sacred obligation to uphold its testimony before everyone needing its message, to pray for its source success, to give for its support, to attend its services, and thus strengthen its ministry. In love, labor, and sacrifice, prosper its work. Encourage its leaders and bring daily growth and enrichment to your own soul. Always walk worthy of the name of Christ and His church, avoiding the very appearance of evil. Love the brethren and esteem them which is over you from the Lord very highly for their work's sake. And beloved, in receiving these Christian brethren into our fellowship, we do enter into a solemn covenant and obligation. Let them never find occasion to be ashamed of any of us, nor disappointed by our life testimony. May they ever find this house of God a place of spiritual enrichment, encouragement, and refuge. We should always be ready to receive them as brethren, bear their burdens in the love of Christ, and share with them the deepest needs of life. All that the Word of God has led them to expect to find among the redeemed should be found here. We shall, by the grace of God, in receiving them into this fellowship, pledge to them in like manner as we have required them to pledge all that is consistent to a godly life. May our communion be sweet and our joy full. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for each one who you have sent here, for each member who is here, and for each new member you have given us. And Lord, we pray that as we are united through the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and we are united into this body known as Northbrook Alliance Church, Lord, that we would all love one another and love you. That we would well represent the gospel of Christ and the love of God to each other and to the world. Lord, help us to lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ and to support each other in the ministries that you have given us to do here on this earth. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I welcome you into the fellowship of Northbrook Alliance Church. Thank you. Those of you who are new to this congregation, welcome. Which is rather unique considering these two have been here for longer than I have been alive. And thank you. God bless. Now you can, no, you can't leave, but you can go sit down. One moment. Having some serious dry mouth issues today. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Now I've got quite the sermon worked up today. It shouldn't last more than 45 minutes. Since it's right about now that we start the last song, what I've got to say is actually rather important and quite deep. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to read you a scripture passage and ask you to contemplate it, and we're going to postpone this message till next week. because it is going to take about a half hour at least, and I don't want to shortchange this one. So with that, I'm just going to pick one of the many that I was going to, scripture passages which I was going to look at, and look at Luke chapter 12, starting with the 22nd verse, and we will read this passage. I will give you a thought, and then we will move on. Luke chapter 12, starting with the 22nd verse, and it reads, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much better, how much more valuable are you than birds? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass, how God clothes the grass of the field. How much more?'" "If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would help us not to worry, not to chase after the things of the world. Lord, you have promised to prosper us. You have told us that we are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Yet, Lord, we look around us, and many of us here can say, my pockets don't feel full. I don't feel like I've been prospered. Lord, help us to look up at the world, look up from the world, and look to the blessings which you have given us. Help us to see not with the wisdom and desires of the flesh and the world, but Lord, help us to see through your eyes the blessings and the bounty and the love with which you have lavished us. Father, we thank you for these things. Help us to put our hearts first and foremost into your hands so that we don't need to worry about what's around us. Lord, might we recognize that by being your servants, by receiving you as our Lord, you have become the one who will provide and care for us and prosper us, because for by prospering us, your kingdom prospers. But Lord, help us to see that the prosperity you will bring is not that of the world, but that of your kingdom. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.